A life full of wonder is available to you. There is only one place where you can find it. Discover how to unlock a life of spectacular vision and miraculous wonder. Next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. Isaiah the prophet prophesied that God's own people would turn away from him in these latter days. They were prophesied to remove their heart far from God, but there was a little remnant that God was very happy about and was going to do something really special with those people. Notice what it says in Isaiah 29 in verse 14. And it's talking about this little remnant. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. So, God is going to do something really special with a little remnant. A marvelous work and a wonder. That word wonder is used often in the Bible. And the Bible and God's work is just filled with wonders. And we need to have that wonder in our lives. We talk about the seven wonders of the world physically. But we need this wonder, W-O-N-D-E-R, in our minds to be motivated to galvanize us into really doing great deeds as God expects His people to do. And He's created man to be a very successful person doing some amazingly good deeds and some good things and having great success. Now you can prove where that marvelous work and a wonder is, and God just tells us about it and expects us to prove where it is. And it does have all kinds of wonders in its work. Notice, I'll just read this verse 14 to you, the whole verse. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. He's talking about His own church, His own people. And He makes really a dual emphasis here. It's a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. God puts that word wonder in there. And you can even look it up in a thesaurus, as I have here, a few definitions and also in the dictionary. But it means like thunderstruck or spellbound, amazement, prodigious, startling, staggering, something stupendously done or accomplished. Here's what the dictionary says of wonder: a phenomenon, wonderment, awe-inspiring, extraordinary, astonishing, spectacular, magnificent, divine. Also, an event causing astonishment, admiration, and joy. It causes wonder. It's wonderful. It's wondrous in your life. Now, God isn't just saying that. He really does mean it, and He wants us, of course, to understand that. He does mean it. Now, I want to go back and give you a little background here in these verses in Isaiah 29, and we'll lead up to verse 14. Stay yourselves and wonder, cry you out and cry, they are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. So His own people have been, they were sober, and then they became drunk on a very numerous amount of false doctrines. So God is saying that they are in very, very bad spiritual condition in these latter days, in this time we're living in right now. Verse 10 says, "For the Eternal has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes." See, they were open, but God has closed them because they're far away from Him. Now he's closed their eyes, the prophets, and your rulers, the seers, has he covered. So this is God's own people, because only they have had their eyes opened in this world. That's what your Bible says repeatedly. And now there is this colossal change in God's own people that is really, really disturbing to God. Then verse 11, it says, and the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he says, I cannot, for it is sealed. Now that's again, the disaster that's happened to God's own people. They did understand God's word. They did understand revelation that God was giving them, but then they turned away from God and the Bible just became sealed to them. Sealed, so they couldn't even understand it. After they had understood so much of it, they were at one time God's flock, but now only a little flock is doing God's work. But God says, nevertheless, I will do some amazing things in that work. And it will be an amazing wonder to your mind. God talks about wanting the Bible to be unsealed, and there were people weeping over in Revelation chapter 5 because nobody was there to open the seven seals. And then they were told, well, in verse 5, that there's this Lion of Judah, our Christ, that is there, and he's going to open the seven seals of Revelation. He says he promises to do that in this end time. Do you know where those seven seals have been opened? It's already happened. It's already happened, or we couldn't prophesy about Revelation, which we do all the time. But where is the place that those seven seals have been unsealed? Well, God says, now that is your responsibility. You have to prove that to yourself. And it's in the Bible, and the Bible interprets itself, so everybody can prove it if they're willing to. But again, you see, you're going to be a much more motivated person if you have this magnificent wonder in your life. You're inspired, you're stirred, you're moved to do something really terrific in your life, and hopefully for God. That's the way it should be. When you look at Acts 6 and verse 8, it talks about power and something that should cause you to be to be watched and observed, and he's talking about something that Stephen did, and I'll comment on that in a moment. Let me first read to you verses 13 and 14, and then I'll go to Acts 6 and verse 8. Verse 13 of Isaiah 29 says, wherefore the Eternal said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. See, they moved their heart far from God. They were close to Him. And that's what is so upsetting to God. And then He says, therefore, behold, and this is what I'm talking to you about today, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people. And then He adds to that, even a marvelous work and a wonder. Even a marvelous work and a wonder. Are you a part of a marvelous work and a wonder that really ought to just fill you with wonder? Like 10,000 times more than the seven wonders of the world. We're talking about something spiritual. God's work is just filled with wonder and excitement and vision and a picture of the future. Notice Acts 6 and verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power and great wonders and miracles among the people. So did God motivate Stephen? Here was a man that was full of faith and power, and there were great wonders and miracles that God did through him. A man, a human being, just like you. And yet God did all that work through him and made him really an outstanding servant of His. Now, when you have the Bible sealed, well, that's the ultimate catastrophe. But a lot of people are confused today about all the former prophets, the minor prophets, the major prophets of the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible. And one evangelist even commented from one of God's own churches that turned away from him, or a group of them anyhow. He said that the minor prophets were, the minor and the major prophets were mainly history. But Herbert Armstrong, looking at Haggai 2 verses 6 and 7, said this years ago. He said, where it says, "Yet once in a little while," there in Haggai 2 verses 6 and 7, "and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land." Mr. Armstrong said, well, what's that talking about? He's not talking about the time in which Zerubbabel lived. He's talking about our time. This was a prophecy. Haggai is not a book of history. It's a book of prophecy. Well, of course, Haggai is a minor prophet. It's not a book of history. It's a book of prophecy. That's true of the former prophets. It's true of the major prophets. And many other prophets like Lamentations, Chronicles, and Daniel. It's those prophets prophesy. If you're a truck driver, you drive a truck. If you're an engineer, you engineer. If you're a cook, you cook. If you're a prophet, you prophesy. That's what God wants us to understand. If these men are prophets, you can be sure they're prophesying, and 90% of that prophecy is for today. 90% of it for this very end time. Notice, again, a few more definitions of the word wonder. Let us define wonder a little more. It means awestruck, to stand aghast, a miracle, an act of God. This is what that wonder is all about. And God wants to fill you with that wonder. He does His people, and He certainly did with Stephen, and He'll do it with all of His people. Do you have wonder in your life? Are you doing a work that fills you with wonder and just a magnificent vision? And you become a visionary in the right way. Well, we all should want that, so we can understand Bible prophecy and all of those visions of the Bible. But here's a few more definitions of the word wonder. A feeling of amazement, inspiring wonder. It inspires wonder. It also causes astonishment, to be seized or filled with wonder. And it's like God has a land full of wonders. It's a work full of wonders. And wonder stricken, it means that, struck with wonder, or a miraculous act. And of course, God's work, you'd have to say, is a wonder work. Just like it's something like the seven wonders of the world, only this is a million times more important, because this is something that inspires and motivates you to do great things for God, hopefully, all the time. But that's not always the case. It certainly is not the case with God's own people in this end time. But let me turn to you to another book that expands on these wonders and helps you to understand them much more deeply. Habakkuk 2 and verse 11 says this, "For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it." Now, if you just look at that physically, it doesn't really make much sense. And we can't even understand it, and yet we do understand it, and we'll prove that to you in our booklet on Habakkuk, and all of our literature is free. But look, this is verse 11 is the single greatest new revelation that God has given to this church. And we do understand it, and it inspires and stirs us as perhaps nothing else in the Bible. It is that important to understand. But here is a stone that's crying out, that stone being a symbol of Jesus Christ. But notice what it says in verse 3, "In the end it shall speak." In the end, it shall speak. Well, God's church, there are seven eras of God's church from the time of Christ in the first century down to the last century. And now today we're in the last era, the Laodicean era, and they become Laodicean or lukewarm. That's why it is called the Laodicean era. They've turned away from God, and God is upset with them, and He's going to correct them if they don't heed His message. That's what He's going to do. And that's what we have to understand. Now, we had a six-year court battle. We're fighting primarily for Mystery of the Ages. That is the most important book on this earth, next to the Bible, because it's a synopsis of the Bible and tells you what is in the Bible and reveals seven great mysteries that this world simply has in their minds. The Bible is a mystery to them. And God wants to remove those mysteries. He wants everything to be unsealed. He wants to give us the truth if we're willing to accept it. He wants to give us these visions and these wonders in His work and in His Bible. He wants to fill your minds with that. And He wants to give all of us that. 1 and 2, let me quickly read that. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Eternal, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear, even cry out unto your violence, and you will not save? And then verse 3, why do you show me lawlessness? It should read iniquity. It means lawlessness, mainly. That's the real meaning. And cause me to behold grievance, for spoiling and violence are before me, and they are that raise up strife and contention. And that's all about a legal contest, strife and contention. It's like a lawsuit. That's what it means. We were in a lawsuit for 6 years, and we had to strive at the law, as these words mean. And it'll be expanded on, of course, in our booklet on Habakkuk. But then verse 4, it talks about the righteous are compassed by the unrighteous, and they're led by an evil man in God's own church. And then there's another man there also. You can see that in the Companion Bible and the Anchor Bible. There's another man that leads the little flock, and that's where God does those amazing wonders in His work. A marvelous work and a wonder. A marvelous work and a wonder. Surely we all ought to want to be a part of that and fill our lives with wonder. And yet they're in a court case and the justice is perverted. That's what the Habakkuk tells you. Where are you going to go for justice today? Well, here's where you go. Notice verse 5. Marvelous wonders. And notice what it says here. Behold you among the heathen in regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. The Hebrew means wonder, wonder, a double wonder. I'm going to show you that in these last days. He's talking about His own rebellious church. And He said the little flock is going to deliver that wonder, wonder. But God's own people won't have the faith to believe it. That's how far they are from God. And they ought to heed what God is warning them about now. This is actually fulfilling Isaiah 29 and verse 14. And it's just a powerful message for us. Notice verse 11. Let me read that to you again. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Well, what does that mean? Well, nobody will have the answer for you except what we have in that little booklet on Habakkuk. We'll explain all this to you. Let me read just a little section of it. As I wrote in my booklet on Habakkuk, request the free copy for The Stone is God. He is the stone of Israel. Genesis 49, verse 24. As our leader and head, Christ is crying out to the true church of God. This stone is crying out of the wall, right out of the house of God, spiritually and even physically to a certain degree today. Stone, wall beam and timber are all materials in a physical house, but this is primarily a spiritual house, of course. The Hebrew word translated beam means to join together or connect. It is derived from a root that means to fasten and signifies a connection girder. The Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary says it is a cross beam or main rafter connecting the timbers of the wall. And the beam brings everything together. I wrote in Habakkuk that the beam is Mystery of the Ages. It's that book, Mystery of the Ages. Now, you need to read and study that book because that's how important it is. And God has to reveal to us what this all really means. And of course, that stone, we received a stone, a prayer rock of Herb W. Armstrong right at the end of that court case. And that it became the new stone of David, which is a symbol of David's throne. It's a symbol of Jesus Christ. And that is the other wonder, the second wonder of this double wonder. Here we have, again, God sees corruption and pollution in David's old throne, and he had to give a new throne of David to prepare for the return of Jesus Christ so God's own people could present them with a throne that has been dealt with and ruled from righteously and lawfully as God wants it, so it can be presented to Christ appropriately and not from a corrupt source. God would not accept that. See, the new stone is actually a symbol of the very throne of David, and that's in our new booklet, The New Throne of David. And it's one of the most inspiring books, I think the most inspiring that we've ever written and that God has ever revealed. And then you combine that with Mystery of the Ages, and you have that double wonder. It is a double wonder, and if you put the two together, that those two books, Mystery of the Ages and The New Throne of David, this will all be clear to you. I can assure you it will. You'll understand it, and it will fill you with wonder if you read and study those two books and understand them as we really ought to. It's a double wonder. Mystery of the Ages and that new throne of David, also a new stone of destiny that God talks about so much in the prophecies. We explain a lot of that in the United States and Britain in prophecy, but you have to get the end of the story from that new Throne of David booklet. Again, remember what God says in Habakkuk 1 in verse 5. Behold you among the heathen in regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. And it means wonder, wonder. Oh, it'll just fill your life with wonder. That's what God wants us to have, is a life full of wonder, where we can be motivated and stirred and moved to declare this magnificent message to God's people and to anybody who's willing to hear it. We're in the very latter days, and the Bible talks about the last end and even beyond that. We discussed that in the booklet on Amos. So we have the answers that everybody should be looking for. We remove all the mystery from the Bible. We remove all that mystery, and all this is being done right now to prepare for the second coming of Jesus Christ. We're in that gun lap of this race to the very end. Jesus Christ is about to return to this earth. He's going to have to stop all of this devastating destruction and hate in this world. What I'm talking about is going to solve all of that. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
A life full of wonder is available to you. There is only one place where you can find it. Discover how to unlock a life of spectacular vision and miraculous wonder. No date on the calendar is more important to God's people than January 16th. On this day in 1986, the end time Elijah died. God used this man to restore all doctrinal truths to his church and to preach the good news of his coming kingdom around the world. Over the past 33 years, dozens of prophetically significant events in God's church and in the world have taken place on or near January 16th. God makes sure his loyal people remember this date, which points to the astounding work he did through the late Herbert W. Armstrong. Request Gerald Fleury's new free booklet, January 16th, God's Miracle Day, to understand the tremendous importance of this date every year. Learn how the crucial events that happened on January 16th are proof of God's power to move nations, churches, and individuals according to his will and his master plan. With this profound understanding in mind, you can allow God to galvanize your life and fill you with wonder. Also request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, Habakkuk. Learn how God personally intervened to help his church win a life and death legal battle for Mr. Armstrong's writings. This court case victory was a double wonder miracle, the most inspiring event in the history of the Philadelphia Church of God. You will also receive a copy of Gerald Fleury's free book, The New Throne of David. God continues to pour out miraculous blessings on his one true church. As the return of Jesus Christ draws closer, God has trusted his loyal people with the ultimate responsibility, the ultimate wonder. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request January 16, God's Miracle Day, Habakkuk, and The New Throne of David. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request January 16, God's Miracle Day, Habakkuk, and The New Throne of David. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.